Two new novels fold elements of literary history into the mystery thriller genre. Both books feature Edgar Allan Poe. His poem, The Raven, published in 1845, made Poe famous, but he never cashed in. He died 4 years later, having never earned more than a few hundred dollars in a single year. The mystery surrounding Poe's death is the subject of Matthew Pearl's novel, The Poe Shadow. Lewis Bayard's new novel, The Pale Blue Eye, centers on Poe long before anyone knew him as a writer, but as a 20-year-old West Point cadet. From New York, Tom Vitale has the story.
Matthew Pearl's book begins with Edgar Allan Poe's funeral on a dark day in Baltimore in 1849.
It was the saddest funeral ever seen. It was the weather. No, the mere 4 or 5 men in attendance, the minimum needed to lift an adult coffin. Or perhaps the melancholy quality came chiefly from that brisk, callous completion of the ceremony. Not even the most impoverished pauper's funeral that I had observed before this day, nor the funerals of the poor Jewish cemetery nearby, not even those exhibited such unchristian indifference.
The narrator of Pearl's novel is Quentin Clark, a Baltimore lawyer who admires Poe's writing and who is appalled by the writer's dismal funeral and slim obituaries. Author Matthew Pearl says in his own day, Poe was either ignored or thought to be excessive.
As a writer, he was thought to rely too much on grotesque details, on shock value. And as a person, his reputation was someone who drank too much, who lived a disorderly life, who did not particularly ascribe to religious values or structures. And so we have to put our mind in that context and imagine a world in which being a Poe fan, something that's quite common for a lot of us, would be a very peculiar thing.
In Pearl's novel, called The Poe Shadow, the narrator sets out to repair Poe's reputation by solving the mystery of his death. He tracks down the retired Parisian crime solver he believes is the real-life model for C. Auguste Dupont, the hero of the murders in the Rue Morgue and the purloined letter. Pearl says Dupont existed in Poe's mind before the word detective existed in our language.
We've forgotten about Dupont, and that's something that I'm really excited about The Poe Shadow hopefully reminding us of, that Sherlock Holmes was not the first and not the only great literary detective. In fact, Arthur Conan Doyle was once asked, who's the better detective, Sherlock Holmes or Poe's detective Dupont? And he answered, Dupont. Dupont is unrivaled.
Matthew Pearl did his own detective work in researching the Poe Shadow. Pearl discovered a letter to Poe that was held in the Philadelphia post office and never delivered, and a poem about Poe's death by the woman Poe was supposed to meet in Philadelphia that week. Christoph Ermscher is a Poe scholar at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Matthew's book is really a piece of scholarship. Pearl's book also accomplishes something really what a historical novel should do. He helps us understand how important someone's death was in the 19th century. The way you died was not just an accidental fact. It, in a sense, told you something about that person's life. And he takes us back to Poe's death and really tries to show us that, you know, the received story is maybe not the whole story. And that he does so in a novel is really quite a feat as far as I'm concerned.
The other new novel about Edgar Allan Poe, The Pale Blue Eye, is set during the 7 months Poe spent as a West Point cadet in 1830. The author is Lewis Bayard.
The thing that really struck me, and maybe strikes anybody who learns that about Poe, is the sheer anomaly of it. What was he doing there? This highly romantic, highly susceptible, impressionable young man, voluntarily subjecting himself to this extremely militaristic, masculine, top-down regime.
Poe was already a published but unknown poet when he entered West Point. Baird's novel is peppered with allusions to Poe's later work, prefiguring the artist Poe would become. Baird says he began his writing process by immersing himself in the works of Poe.
There's some of Poe that's actually fairly impenetrable, but it's amazing what a body of work he left in a relatively short life. He died when he was 41, I believe, and left a lot of prose and poetry behind. I also listened to a lot of recordings by people like Vincent Price and Basil Rathbone, you know, those great old horror actors who just have those cadences down pat.
And I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. He had never given me insult for his gold. I had no desire. I think it was his eye. Yes, it was this. He had the eye of a vulture. A pale blue eye with a film over it.
Poe's story, The Telltale Heart, provided a title for Baird, as well as a plot element. Baird's The Pale Blue Eye begins like all good murder mysteries, with a body. The narrator is a retired New York police constable, summoned to West Point to solve the mystery of a cadet who has been hanged and then had his heart carved out.
He hadn't been hollowed, though. It might have been better if he had. You wouldn't have had to see the hairless, scrolled-back flaps of his chest skin, the shivered ends of his bones, and deeper inside the gummy something that lay folded and still secret. I could see the shriveled lungs, the band of his diaphragm, the rich, warm, brown plumpness of his liver. I could see everything. Everything but the organ that wasn't there. Which was the thing you saw clearest of all, somehow, that missing piece.
In the novel, the detective enlists the young cadet, Edgar Allan Poe, as his assistant, and together they solve the crime. Baird says before he began his research, he hadn't read Poe in 20 years.
But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that he was coded into me in the same way he's encoded into our cultural DNA. He's so much a part of our literature and our way of seeing things that we don't even recognize him anymore. We can see that horror writers like Stephen King and Clive Barker would not be the same writers without the influence of Poe's Gothic stories.
Scholar Christoph Irmscher describes Baird's novel about Edgar Allan Poe as a postmodern pastiche.
There is sort of the idea that Poe is a tapestry of quotations, allusions, that you can help yourself as a 21st century writer and do with it what you like, and turn it into something that's fun to read.
Making something fun to read is the point, says Matthew Pearl, of weaving literary history into a mystery thriller.
All books, in a way, are mysteries. The way we write and the way we read is all about getting us from one sentence to the next and from one paragraph to the next and one page to the next. And the way we do that is by withholding information. We turn that page because there's something we don't know that we want to know, and that's what will keep us going to the last page.
Novelist Lewis Baird says Poe's work always kept him going to the last page because of its bravery.
In my mind, he's one of the bravest writers I've ever encountered because he didn't censor anything. You feel as though his entire subconscious, his unconscious, is there on the page. He didn't worry about what people would think of him because some of his stories are extremely disturbing. And you have to sit back and go, what is going on with this author? He's crazy. And Poe, to his credit, he gave full vein to those really dark veins in his spirit and in his psyche. And I think reading him empowers you to do the same.
Lewis Baird and Matthew Pearl both say they hope their novels inspire readers to read or reread the work of Edgar Allan Poe.
You fancy me mad. Madmen know nothing. But you should have seen me. You should have seen how wisely I proceeded, with what caution, with what foresight, with what dissimulation I went to work. I was never kinder to the old man than during the whole week before I killed him.
For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.
About midnight, I turned the latch of his door and opened it.